The reading's from Acts chapter 5, and I've chosen it because I find this exciting. It's a period when God was really active in authenticating the mission and message of the church. And I think, as with all the New Testament, it rings true to everyday life. You can imagine these things happening. This hasn't been made up. It's as it happened. Acts chapter 5. And it begins with the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And for their deceit and lying to the Holy Ghost, God took their lives. And then we read in verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the church, to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early the next morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men who be put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Well, there's much that we could say on those verses, but suffice to say mainly that it shows the power of God in action. God was intent in bringing the good news of the gospel to the world, and to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. And no one could stop him, although they tried. And he did it by giving to his disciples the Holy Spirit, enabling them to preach with great power. And he also gave them, the apostles that is, the gift of miracles and healing for the express purpose of authenticating the message that it truly was of God. And it's wonderful to see, and it rings true, that when these people saw these miracles, people brought into the streets and healed, and it says even the multitudes came out of the cities round about, bringing sick folks and so on, and they were healed. And if in this city tomorrow there was a great healer who healed people, you would get the same thing happening. People would come from anywhere and everywhere to get their relatives healed. So it rings true. Then we read about the opposition of the high priest and the Sanhedrin. And they command the disciples not to teach in this name. But we read that God was intent that the gospel would go out. So he sends his angel to bring them out of prison. And he says, go and speak to the people all the words of this life. And that was a command of the angel of the Lord. And God's command is still the same today. He commands his people, go, speak to the people all the words of this life. The words of the gospel, which brings life. Eternal life now, in the salvation of souls, and that eternal life in the world to come. And God commands us to do the same, even tomorrow and every day of our lives. The other interesting thing is that we read in verse 33 that when, after Peter had said that God had raised up Jesus from the dead, whom he slew and hanged on a tree, God hath highly exalted him, given him to be a prince and a saviour, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins, the chief priests were cut to the heart and sought counsel to slay them. How different from Acts 2, after Peter preached, when we read verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, Men and brethren, what shall we do? So some were pricked in their heart and wanted to know the way of salvation. Others were cut to the heart and sought counsel to slay them. Why the difference? The sovereign power of God. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God had his people, and he still has his people today. And that's a great encouragement to us, isn't it, when we take the gospel out. We don't know who God has chosen, but he does. And God sometimes uses miraculous means to bring his work to pass, but often he uses human means. And the apostles could have been put in prison, silenced, beheaded, but God gives this unbelieving man, Gamaliel, great wisdom. And he says these lovely words, If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. And now we know our gospel is of God, don't we? And it therefore cannot be overthrown. It must triumph. So it's a great encouragement to us when we take it out and speak. God has his people, and he will bless his word. Well, I've said enough. There's more I could say, but I think we'll leave it there. But we go out in the power of God, for the glory of God, with the gospel of God. Go and speak to the people all the words of this life. We know that God saved thousands. May he do so in Dublin.